Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Wow, we got one of the best sports weeks of the year upcoming, and we had a great sports weekend that we have to talk about. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You got Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, you got Christian Katt. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, where we got you for the next 3 hours right here on ESPN 106.3. We have the fifth quarter coming up from 6 to 7 p.m. presented by Hard Rock Bet, so stay tuned for that. We got a good Monday night football game tonight in Lions-Ravens, and we also have a full slate of college football and the NFL that we got to break down because a lot happened yesterday. It was another packed slate with no buys, so everybody's on the forefront, and a couple major storylines. The Packers and the Browns had an interesting go at it. Mike's wearing his Browns gear today as he made it clear to the Packer fans that we work with, get out of here, go back north, essentially, is what Mike Rizzo had to say there.
It was heat of the moment.
It was heat of the moment. All right. It was saying go back north, kicking people out, where the Browns are also north. But
I should have said northwest.
Right.
In my defense.
Right. So the Packers and the Browns had a good one on that part. The game of the day was that 1 o'clock slate game, which I was surprised it was 1 o'clock. But they had Olsen and Davis on the call. It was a big game. And the Eagles and the Rams at Lincoln Financial, where the Rams sort of fell apart and the Eagles rumbled back from down 26-7 in the second half. And they were able to churn that one out 27-26, or 33-26 with the blocked field goal.
The blocked six.
One of the biggest bad beats for bettors I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
And this show was on.
We were on it.
We were on it.
We were on the Rams plus 3.5.
Great bet. I don't care what people say.
But like a lot to talk about, but that game specifically, my big takeaway, the Rams played they played a winning football game. They played a conservative football game because they sort of blitzed them on the early part. And they were making plays, especially defensively, keeping everybody in check. But then when it came down to it, they were too conservative. And that's what ended up burning them at the end of the game. And then two field goals, the final two possessions of the game for the Rams, both getting blocked by the two star defensive tackles for the Eagles, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. If that does not encapsulate Matthew Stafford's career, I don't know what will. That is Matthew Stafford's career all over. Two opportunities to put the game away. One of them would put him up 9. The other one would win the game as time expired. And they both get them blocked back to back. Yesterday was the day it blocked field goals, and you saw it in that Ram game.
Yeah, and you saw it in the Jet game. You saw it in the Brown game. And I know we're going to get into those games later on, but I thought Stafford looked old. That was, and I know I drive you crazy with this stuff, Kyle, but like I really thought the last couple of years, last year, give Stafford credit, played like an MVP candidate. But I thought with the back injury going into this season, maybe there were going to be question marks with Stafford. Played a great first half.
His last year, too. It's evident.
And then that's probably why they signed a 2-year deal to give the Rams some credit. But Davante Adams, unbelievable catch in that first half, that touchdown. Pakua Nacua was everywhere.
He's the best.
Top 5 receiver in the game.
I would take him over anybody not named Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, in a second. I think he's that good.
I think you're
right.
And
the thing about him, he's all over the field. Even Eagle fans got to admit that. Every single game, he could catch it short, intermediate, long. He's got sure hands. He's a great blocker. He's a great run after the catch guy.
Yeah.
He's available. I love Nacua. He was awesome last year. He was awesome in that playoff game that they played as well. I mean, he's great.
He is.
He's a great player. He was great in that Viking game. Oh, my God, was he all over the field. And the Vikings, or not the Vikings, the Rams, a little conservative. Then they get burned, and then the Eagles with 200 yards from Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter.
The Rams needed one more touchdown in that second half.
They needed a field goal at the end of the game, and they would have won it.
The touchdown, though, I think if they would have scored a touchdown on one of those umpteen drives that they had in the second half, would have gave them enough comfort, I think, to win. In the National Football League, I feel like it's really hard to come down from these deficits with how fast these defenses are, how good they are, how well schemed they are for each matchup. But that's what separates the Eagles. They're never dead. I don't think the Eagles are ever dead with Jalen Hurts. And Colin, we heard a lot of hoopla about Hurts in the first 2 weeks, not throwing for 200 yards, not getting A.J. Brown the ball, Devontae Smith the ball. I mean, he threw two great balls in the red zone for touchdowns to both of them. And A.J. Brown finally had that breakout game that I feel like Eagle fans were waiting for. In a game where Saquon Barkley really was ineffective on the ground.
He's been effective basically all year.
Jalen Hurts was able to step up and make the big plays. And I could say, even though the statistics haven't been there for Hurts in the first two games, Kyle, the game against Dallas, he was running all over the field. He was dicing them up in the first halves, picking up first downs against the Cowboys. And then the week after that against the Chiefs, I'm over the tush push. We could get into that if you want to, Kyle. But listen, the tush push was on full display against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that was a difference maker. And that's Jalen Hurts' play. And for him in the game to have the rushing touchdown, he had four touchdowns total. I mean, three through the air and the tush push touchdown at the goal line. Hurts won them the game. And a lot of people were on Hurts because of the lack of passing that he had over the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's 19-1 in his last 20 games. 19-1. We said the same thing about Mahomes last year. They just sort of find a way to churn out victories. If you watch that game and you're a Jalen Hurts hater and you didn't think that he's, you know, good enough of a quarterback, you know, you could stick anybody in that position. The thing is the Eagles were never really known as the team to be like the Chiefs and to sort of operate with that sort of magic that the Chiefs operate with. And a lot of the reason that they can do that now is not only, yes, they have a plethora of talent all over the field. They outmatch people at receiver. They outmatch people at the defensive line. They outmatch people on the offensive line. They outmatch people basically everywhere. But it's the quarterback position that really is either to keep them calm or to get them back into it. Because not a lot of quarterbacks would come back in that situation like Hurts did. He threw for 200 yards in the fourth quarter. I mean, he was great. And if that doesn't necessarily sell it to you that when he wants to be, he is still great. He can be great. I don't know how great, but he is. He is a top-of-the-line starter because he's good in big games, and he knows how to get the team to victory. He wins any way he can.
This one reminded you of the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, Barkley didn't have a great game in the Super Bowl, but Hurts was able to throw for touchdowns and pick yards up on the ground. It's exactly what happened versus the Rams yesterday. And I do want to give the Rams credit because they play this team tough. Granted, they're 0-4.
Yeah.
At least, listen, this is coming from John Oteri, a marketing consultant here at ESPN West Palm. I hope I could take him for his word. But the Rams are 0-4 against
McVay. They were 0-2 last year against
them. So, like, is this the team that they can't get past? But they play him tough, mate. I mean, if I had to have my pick of the litter of teams in the NFC, it's obviously the Eagles. It's the Rams and probably Tampa Bay and Green Bay. And you can put them in any order, even though Green Bay lost to Cleveland. I'm not kicking them to the curb quite yet. But it's like, you know, the Rams are up there as a top team in the NFL and in the NFC. I know that they completely capitulated in that second half.
Yeah, they blew apart.
They really did.
And McVay doesn't lose games when he's leading at half. That's like his big thing.
And that's like, you can blame staff. Who do you blame? Do you blame the offense? Do you blame the guy calling the plays? Do you blame the guy throwing the football?
They had opportunities that they missed out on. But the thing is, they were two field goals away from putting the game away. That was it. One to win the game, and the other one to make it a 9-point game with minutes to go.
And we know a coach like McVay, he cannot stomach the two block kicks game.
So that is the killer. Stafford did not play very well. He didn't play well at all. But they were ready to rock and roll, and they blitzed them especially defensively, on the start.
Are the Eagles the new Chiefs that everyone loves to hate?
I didn't even go to the lengths of saying they took their whole magic in that Super Bowl.
Hear me out on this, because we were all sick of the Chiefs because, I mean, Kyle, Mahomes, what, three Super Bowls, unbelievable talent, is always coming out of the AFC. The Eagles in 1 year, like, it took me about 2.5 years to be done with the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, after midway through year three, I'm like, all right, I'm done. You know what I mean? But with this Eagle team, I'm already there. And I think a lot of it has to do with the tush push. I told you I'm done with the tush push. We'll get into that. But, like, the unstoppable, weird play that they don't officiate the tush push. The unbearable Philly fan. And just the way that they win these games. The way that they come back and win some of these games. I think I'm already there being eagled out. I really do. I think I'm eagled out.
One thing I'll say is I agree. I don't love watching the Eagles, but the one thing about them is teams like that, and especially fan bases like that, they're important for the NFL.
You respect them. No, totally.
It's important for the NFL.
But like they have...
They're good for the league.
They have a new villain. That's why like we talk about it...
And Philly loves being that. Yeah, like when Boston was good. They got that blue-collar mentality, us against the world, thinking that everybody, you know, is up against them. And that type of... You know, you said villain is perfect.
Right.
That they embody that.
They
and
do.
That's why it's good for the league.
But like and we talk a lot in the NBA too, you know, and I know it's kind of turned into a dead league, but like in its heyday, you know, when you had the Warriors and the Cavalier rival, you picked a side. You know, you hated both of the teams, but you had to watch.
Even Miami when LeBron was
exactly.
Down.
So like dynasties are good for sports. It's hard with how the Eagles are winning, and you said it perfectly. They're the new Chiefs in the way that they win these games. And, like, I feel like they've taken that crown of just the team that's like, oh, God, how are they going to do it this week? How are they going to use the black magic to boil up and conjure up a victory this week? And they certainly did that against the Rams.
Yeah, you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit. And more importantly, you got to start to give that quarterback credit because he has played well in playoff games. He even played great in that Super Bowl that they lost. He's a winner. Line every NFL team up. Line every head coach up. And ask them if they'd rather have an individual superstar in terms of his talent or a winner. 32 out of 32 would tell you they want a winner.
Just want to win football games.
They just want to win. They want a guy who's going to win us games. That's why Jared Goff has made himself a lot of money. A guy, he can win games. And Hurts has already won a Super Bowl. There are levels to this. If you line him up, you know, against certain other quarterbacks, Caleb Williams is a little bit more talent. You know, like there are all over the place. C.J. Stroud probably is maybe not C.J. Stroud now, but like has more talent. There's a lot of players who have more talent. Bo Nix has more talent, maybe, than Jalen Hurts. But the thing about Jalen Hurts is that mentality that he carries, that collectedness, and, you know, the timeliness, the understanding of the position and the team and what he needs to do, that separates him. Similar to Brady. They were more talented, and he's not Brady. There was somebody in the office today. He said he was Brady. He's not Brady.
Oh, call him out. John O'Terry, marketing consultant.
You're not, please. But the one thing that Brady was great at is Brady would win in any way, any facet. Mahomes turned into that. Mahomes will try to win in any way. There's a reason he leads his team in rushing yards. Patrick Mahomes, that is. He's trying to figure out any possible way they can to win football games. Hurts is cut from that similar cloth. There are a lot of players in this league that if plan A is not going right, they fall apart. There is nothing to do here.
He's a gamer.
There is six different ways that the Eagles can beat you. That is their greatest strength. They are not necessarily dominant in like the pass happy. If they're clicking offensively, and nobody can lose. It's similar to the Lions. If the Lions are clicking offensively, you're done.
Yep.
But if that doesn't go well for them, then they're very beatable. That's not the Eagles. Eagles can beat you in a shootout. Eagles can beat you in a grinded out game. Eagles can beat you in a come from behind game. Eagles can blow you out. Eagles can do all this. That's why they're dangerous, because they could win in 100 different ways.
And adding another layer, they could shut you out with that defense. I mean, any given, and I know they kind of got gashed in that first half, but holding them the field goals in that second half, giving their offense a chance to get back into the game.
Rams kick six field goals. Twice. You don't need to kick six field goals.
You envy the Eagles and what they're able to do. They're a great team. They're the best team in the NFL. It's the team you all envy now. It's the team we all envy and we all want to be.
You hate the eye test. It was similar last year. Well, you hated the Chiefs' eye test. Oh, they're not that good. You know, I mean, they're winning, but like it's ugly every time they're winning. They still made it to the Super Bowl. They were not better than the Eagles, but they still ran through the AFC once again. And that was after they won every single game essentially close, and it was ugly every single time out. The Eagles can win ugly, and they could do it the other way too. They could win pretty. That team showed you something. And more importantly, I think that quarterback shut some people up. I think Jalen Hurts shut some people up. 888-760-3776. You're starting to develop a little bit more respect for how Jalen Hurts conducts himself. Because I think there is something, too, that he didn't even react after Jordan Davis got the blocked field goal and ran it back for a touchdown to win the game. The game was already won, but he didn't even react.
No.
Maybe it's a little put on. Maybe it's a little performative.
Maybe he was upset that it even came to that.
It might be a little performative, but that calmness translates throughout the team. It does. Because he is the fearless leader that they have. And when Sirianni is losing his mind left and right, You get somebody who's there to kind of be the yin to the yang. He's keeping his cool. I've always liked Hurts. I've always respected Hurts. But Hurts showed you everything you need to see yesterday.
Him and that big security guard are keeping everything.
Big Dom.
Is that his name?
Big Dom. 888-760-3776. Number to get into the program on Russo and Rizzo. Streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X. ESPN West Palm. Were you impressed with the Eagles yesterday? Did they show you something? Did Jalen Hurts show you something? Let us know. 888-760-3776. We have the phone lines open, Christian?
No, I tried to tell you. He hung up. That's what I was saying to you.
Wonderful. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Kat. We'll take a time out here on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, there's not a lot of ways that Mike can improve his victory Monday after the Cleveland Browns took down the Green Bay Packers in a triumphant come-from-behind victory then, but I think a good way to do it is make sure his health's in order, health's in check over at Men's Only Medical.
Absolutely. My guy Dr. Al over at Men's Only Medical. I have a game plan for success with my good guy, Dr. Al. By the way, Dr. Al, local guy, went to Newman, is a Miami grad. His dad was a doctor here in West Palm Beach. He's someone you could trust within the community. And I'm on a nutrition plan with Doc Al to prevent stuff from happening when I'm 50, 60, 70, and hopefully into my 80s. You know, when I did the blood test with Doc Al, when I did my concierge health program, when I came in, did my entire exam, you know, Doc Al's blood tests for a lot more than the average doctor. And we found something in there that, you know, it's not, let's put it this way, it's not alarming, but it's something that I definitely needed to address. And we're doing that by having me eat the right foods, having me do the right workouts that are right for my body, my blood type, my body type. That is all over at Men's Only Medical. And there are plenty of other services as well. Like if you're having trouble with hair loss, there's hair loss solutions with Doc Al. If you're having heart problems, they have expert cardiovascular health care and skin assessment. You know, Colin likes to joke around. My face skin was filthy. But at the same time, I was 90 percentile in 30-year-olds. How about that? It might have been 30, but I was 90 percentile when it comes to my skin. So, like, this is all stuff you could find out with Doc Al. You see these health clinics all around town for women. Well, this is your first one-stop shop health clinic, concierge health clinic, here in West Palm Beach. Visit mensonlymedical.com. That's mensonlymedical.com. And you could also stop by my good friend Doc Al over on North Dixie Highway right here in downtown West Palm Beach. We'll do game plan for greatness later on in the program.
888-760-3776. After the Eagles beat the Rams on Sunday, Jalen Hurts took over in that fourth quarter, that second half, willed them back to victory. Do you have a little bit more respect for them, for the Eagles, after winning a game like that, even if it's in their building? John and Jensen Beach joins Russo and Rizzo now. John and Jensen, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Gentlemen, happy first business day of autumn.
There we go.
My man, John.
The NFL and football in general is the greatest team sport. I want to play a game with you guys, all right? I want to take Dak Prescott off the Dallas Cowboys and put him on the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to take Jalen Hurts off the Philadelphia Eagles and put him on the Dallas Cowboys. Do you think Dallas is better, same, or worse with Jalen Hurts at quarterback?
Do you think the Eagles are better, same, or worse with Dak Prescott?
I think they're the same. Maybe a little better.
I disagree. I think they are well worse than what he is. So this is the hypothetical that everybody loves. Jalen Hurts is the perfect quarterback for that franchise, no?
For that Eagles. Exactly. But he is not the kind of guy that you can bring on a team and instantly get over the top or become, you know, a winning team from a losing team.
So, John, you're saying
there are quarterbacks in the league. Hurts, Josh Allen, yeah. Lamar Jackson. You can take Lamar Jackson and put him on the Jets, and the Jets are going to win 3 or 4 more games with Lamar Jackson.
He's a system guy, John. You're saying Hurts is more of a system guy than anyone who could go and play for any team in the NFL.
They built a perfect team around that quarterback. But, and that's why the NFL and football in general is the greatest team sport, because you can do that with a guy. He's got a heart. He's a champion. He's a winner. But from a skill set, a quarterback skill set, he's average in the NFL at best.
And you know what? And I think what we talked about earlier, John, good call. I appreciate it. One thing that I would add to that is I think that builds into my point that I made previous segment. If you line up all 32 coaches and you ask them if they'd rather have somebody with sort of Hurts' mentality, that heart of a champion, winner, knows exactly what he needs to do, if you'd rather them have that or the most skilled guy in the world, but sort of like, you know, a mental walkover. You know, somebody who's not you can't necessarily rely on in terms of their mentality and how they treat the game and how they do that and whether they're a professional or not. There is a good chunk of NFL coaches that would sign up for what Jalen Hurts provides comparatively to the more skilled, mentally less formidable counterpart.
I feel like Baker is like that gamer kind of quarterback too. Like Josh Allen, you know, if you look at Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Mahomes, like, you know, those guys are winners and those guys are gifted. Like, I feel like Baker is just the ultimate gamer that'll do whatever it takes to win the football game. Similar to Hurts. Like, Hurts doesn't have the best arm, but he does what it takes to win the football game. And the best way I could describe, Kyle, what you're trying to describe with Hurts is a gamer. Like, a guy who has a nose to know, that has a nose to know what it takes to win. What he's got to do in that specific scenario. Like, and the reason I bring Baker up, 3 weeks in a row now, Tampa Bay has gone on game-winning drives. So, like, could Mayfield be better maybe on some downfield passes or you know, whatever. Or maybe be more physically gifted when it comes to running the football. Maybe. But he's a gamer, and he gets the job done, and I think he's proving that in Tampa Bay. And same with Jalen Hurts. He's a gamer. He's won a Super Bowl. And I like what John said there. Like, John said they've built the perfect system around the guy. Isn't that what every NFL team wants to do?
It's not even. I don't think he was meaning it as a knock. It comes off as a knock in how we talk about quarterbacks nowadays, but it's not.
But isn't
that's not a knock.
But that's what teams, and granted, you're talking to a Brown fan who doesn't do this. They just get a quarterback and expect them to turn things around. You're supposed to have a plan for your quarterback. You're supposed to play to your quarterback's strengths. I feel like New England is struggling with that a little bit right now with Drake May. There are plenty of teams. I think the Panthers are the perfect example of that. They struggle with it, but there are moments where Bryce Young looks pretty good. So, like, I feel like it's up to the team. Too often, these quarterbacks fizzle out because they don't have the right direction around them. I give Hurts and the Eagles a lot of credit because they've worked together to come up with ways to work to his strengths and to win football games.
It works, and that's all anybody can ask for. And, I mean, if we're just going to knock him for not having the skill of other players. See, I disagree. I agree with him in the sense that, yeah, the Cowboys would probably be in some trouble with Jalen Hurts just inputted in there. But I would also make the argument that Prescott would not the Eagles would not be nearly as good with Dak Prescott and a large number of quarterbacks in the NFL. They would not. That's my personal opinion. Jalen Hurts is the perfect glove for what they try to do.
I'll tell you what, Dak couldn't do the tush push. He won't be able to do
the
tush
push. There's a good point to be made there. And also, just that come from behind. He plays well in playoff games. He's an elevator. He deals with adversity well. He's a leader.
Well, and what's
that all? You sign up for that 100 times, 100 for 100.
Dak's knock is that he can't win a big game and can't get it done in the
playoffs. So why would we want to input him to that? I mean, the Eagles had trouble winning big games, too, before Hurts even got there. Of course they're going to want to deal with that.
And
of course they're going to want him.
For the record, Kyle, I think you'd agree with me. Dak's not bad. Dak's a good quarterback.
He's a good player.
He's
even underrated.
And I know we'll get to exactly what the hell happened in Chicago. Caleb Williams finally, you know, having that game we've kind of been looking out for. But I still expect the Cowboys to be good this year. I do. And I expect the Eagles to be good. And I'm looking forward to that rematch coming up later on in the year in Jerry World.
That Eagles would be worse with Dak Prescott. Let's just put that out there. All right? Let's just make that abundantly clear. If you watched yesterday and thought, boy, Dak could do this, you're wrong. Dead wrong. Dak would be on the team bus at the end of the third quarter. Not dealing with that. Let's bounce around a little bit, determine who was cool in the heat of the moment, who was not. Let's do a little John C. Cassidy temperature check.
Keep your cool. This is the temperature check.
Mostly sunny today with temperatures soaring much higher than usual.
Presented by John C. Cassidy Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Keeping Palm Beach County cool since 1960.
Plenty of sunshine today with seasonal temperatures. We should recharge.
John C. Cassidy temperature check presented by our pals over at John C. Cassidy. Palm Beach County's trusted partner since 1960. Helping keep your home cool and comfortable, especially in this storm season. How we'll do this, we'll go back and forth a little bit to determine who was good in the heat of the moment, who was good when the pressure got the highest, and who was not, more importantly. I'll start this off. I was outside the stadium on Saturday early evening, and there was some pressure going into the game, but, you know, they sort of squashed all of that maybe fabricated pressure that there was. Miami Hurricanes, that is a team that, for all purposes, that was a little bit of a trap for them because Florida had a lot to play for in terms of how they played last year. There's probably people within that building that are playing for their jobs. There were probably players on that team that are playing for their jobs. And the thing about Miami that we determined before the game, myself and Theo Dorsey were on site with John Bostic, who's a former Florida Gator, is a lot of those Miami players were not there last year when they blew out Florida in Gainesville, first game of the year. Not a lot of those Miami guys were there. A lot of the Florida guys were there.
Right.
So it's a little bit different in terms of the bulletin board material attached to it. At Hard Rock Stadium, they made it easy. Florida couldn't score. Bar none. And the Florida defense, they actually played moderately competitively. They had a couple opportunities early second half. But offensively, they couldn't figure out anything. That's to Miami's credit. Maybe Florida's offense really does stink that bad. But Miami, got to give them credit for keeping their cool there.
I think after 4 weeks, Miami's the best team in the country.
Best resume in the country. I agree with you. I think they've shown that.
They're the number one team in the country until further notice. Obviously, we got to see these teams get into conference play. But right now,
you just got to see resume. That's it.
Miami numero uno in my eyes.
Best resume by far.
Kyle, you want to know who didn't keep their cool? That is Dabo Swinney and Clemson. Clemson is officially done. Now, in a world where Miami loses two games in the ACC, in a world where Florida State loses two games in the ACC, maybe Clemson could stay alive. Now, Clemson would have to go undefeated. Kyle, I think one thing you and I agree, Clemson's not going undefeated from this point on.
Nope.
Okay. They lost 34-21 to Syracuse at home. This is the same Syracuse that Fran Brown had running gassers after the UConn game 2 weeks ago.
Tore his Achilles in the middle of the game, too. Keep that in mind.
So, Syracuse didn't score a point in the fourth quarter and still won by 13 points. Klubnik dropped back 60 times, threw for 363 yards and three touchdowns. 37 of 60. My goodness.
They can't run the ball. They don't run the ball.
Absolute disgrace. No defense played by Clemson. I remember, and Kyle, I promise, this isn't me getting on you, so please don't take it this way. Well, people kept saying, look at everything that's coming back. Look at all the players.
I mean, they were the fifth best title odds. Who wouldn't think that? You know, that was their thought process going into the year. This team is going to be really good, and they're terrible.
And I'm dead wrong on a lot of things in college football, like saying Florida State was going to lose five games this year. Okay, but one thing I wasn't dead wrong about was this Clemson team. Are we sure these guys coming back are a good team? Are we sure the same team that has not lived up to expectations? Are we sure that this is a good thing that they're coming back? Dabo is crashing out in real life.
Yeah.
And listen, you guys know the college team that I root for. I am here. I am here to watch the whole Clemson thing come crashing down on Dabo. They did not keep their cool. They were 1-3 on the year, losing to Syracuse at home. Can we be done with the Dabo? We had to do it 2 years ago. Oh, look out for Clemson. We had to do it last year. They lose 37-3 in week one against Georgia. Look out for Clemson. Then we're doing it this year. Can we be done with the Dabo?
Here's the thing about Clemson. It's fascinating. They got two first-round picks defensively in that front seven. Probably top 20 picks is on top of that. They have a quarterback that many thought was going to be a highly touted NFL draft pick who hasn't played well. And they have a lot of top-tier prospects and even transfer portal guys that have come in. And what did Clemson do on top of that? They went and got Penn State's defensive coordinator. All the pieces were, they're in the right spot. And they have a coach that has done it before. They're the Florida State of last year. That's what they are. Mm. They are Florida State, where they are officially off the track and there was no hope of getting back on. They were off the track from the get-go. And you know what? They actually played a somewhat competitive game in that first game. And after that happened, everything went loose. They're Florida State.
Right. Kyle, their next game, October 4th, by the way, they have a bye week. Thank goodness for Dabo. But their next game at North Carolina. Brother, I think I'm going to send some toilet paper to have on the sideline for that. That is the ultimate, the toilet bowl. That is the
terrible.
That is the toilet bowl. By the way, UCF. Where they beat Belichick 37-7?
Yeah, they killed him.
I mean, my goodness. That game is going to be the ultimate toilet bowl. But, yeah, I kind of feel for Klubnik. I do. I mean, I still think he's going to be a draft pick. I still think someone...
Yeah, I mean, he could come back, too. He'll have a... He'll have eligibility. He'll probably go to the transfer portal, if I had to guess.
Right.
But if he entered the transfer portal, he'd be the top guy.
Definitely.
Every team in the country would go after him, which is the bizarre part, that they haven't been able to put anything together.
Because it's... I don't want to say Dabo's the whole Dabo thing is getting old. That's why I said, are we done with the Dabo yet? It's been 6 years now since that team has been relevant.
Right. And they're never getting rid of him because it's the last true Colt in college football, and they shouldn't get rid of him. They're having a terrible year, and the problem is Dabo's looking around, well, hold on. Well, why do we have all these expectations? It's Why do you think Alabama has expectations? Why do you think Ohio State has expectations? Why do you think Notre Dame has expectations? It's because you guys are great. You have to continue to be great when you are great.
Right.
That's the problem. You stepped into these shoes. You created this you created these shoes. This is your problem now. Why not, when you win all these years, you sell these guys on the vision when you get them to come into school there, and you can't look around, but, oh, well, hold on. We won 3 years ago. Why am I getting all of this flack now? Because you can't just pick and choose when people expect you to be good. You can't do that. That's not fair. He is making a fool of himself.
He's supposed to be consistently good. And it really started with NIL. Remember, Dabo didn't want to do NIL. He didn't want to do the transfer portal. And now he slowly has become a transfer portal guy. I can't keep up. And quite frankly, that's a dead team. That's a dead team right now until further notice. And it's certainly not going to change at the end of this year.
I'm going to stay positive here. I usually go negative. And there's a couple different directions you could go negative, especially on the baseball side of things. But I'll stay in college for now. The Indiana Hoosiers winning 63-10 over Illinois.
Poor Jim.
Kurt Cignetti, you know, it's been somebody who's, you know, stepped in some hot water in terms of his persona throughout college football. But that team is better than what they were last year. And they got Fernando Mendoza as the new quarterback they got from Cal. That guy's going to be a draft pick. That sort of Jared Goff operator archetype. He works. And they have talent. And think about it for a second. He's 15-2 since they got there. That was one of the worst programs in the Power Five before he got there. They're 15-2. There are two losses to Notre Dame, who eventually went to the national championship, and Ohio State, who eventually won the national championship. Got to give them a little credit. Now, that was their first ranked win. So let's get that out of the way as well. But Indiana now, and they have more tests this year. I believe they play Oregon. They have bigger games. Got to give them a little credit there. Now, they didn't take the foot off the gas.
Yeah, I had a
I don't know if that sits well with people.
I had an issue.
But if I'm Indiana and everybody's hating on Indiana, oh, hold on. Well, you know, they're scheduling bad teams now and they can't beat a ranked opponent. All right, here's your ranked opponent. When you want to see, I'll show you ranked opponent. Could they have stopped it at 49-10 and called it quits? Yes. But they wanted to prove a point. Point was proven. Indiana's better than they were last year. Just off of that alone, that game alone, they showed you that they got a little bit more guts.
And it shows Cignetti's a good coach. Like, I could sit here and complain about him and not like the... And
you got to think, Mac, we're analyzing him like he's the coach of Notre Dame.
Right.
He's doing this at Indiana.
Yeah, and he's done this everywhere he's went, to give him credit. And to get this out of the way, obviously my 3 years at Peoria, Illinois, we were home of the Illini, my good friend and mentor of mine, Jimmy Mattson, Illinois grad, Illinois guy. I felt really bad for my guy. I did. And I feel really bad that I gave out a dead ticket. I had all you kids on Illinois, and they.
I never bought it. You were in on that Duke win. I never bought it.
In on the Duke win. I thought this, and it's similar to Cignetti. You know, this was Cignetti's big win. I thought this was going to be Brett's signature win within the Big Ten.
The thing is, you don't even think Illinois is out. It's just the thing is, they didn't take their foot off the gas.
That I have a real issue with the coach and running up the score like that on Bielma. But I also learned that. You know, it pains me to say Illinois is just not that good. They're not a top 10 team. We found that out. I mean, Indiana was the 19th team in the country. Illinois was the 9th team in the country, according to the AP.
It just showed you that Illinois had no business being in that spot.
Collins, a 53-point game. They lost by 53 points.
No business being in that spot. And Indiana's got at Oregon, at Penn State this year. If they split somehow, some way, they're a lock for the postseason. Yeah. A lock.
Can't wait. And that's why, like...
If they split, they might be a lock for the Big Ten championship.
This is when things get fun. Because you learn who's good. Like, right now, Miami is the best team in the country. But let's see when they play a conference schedule. Right now, Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the country, they got a tough matchup at Washington, coming off of a bye week where
This is you selling yourself on Ohio State having a rough game. I've seen this before.
I'm nervous. Freshman quarterback on the road, first big spot, Kyle. Very nervous. But it's true. I mean, when you start conference play, look at Michigan. Look at what happened to Michigan. Now, jackpot, dead or alive. Yeah. I mean, the Hail Mary before half. Can we pump the brakes?
How the Big Ten is going to be is either you're playing a tough ranked matchup or you're playing a spoiler game. That is, there is going to be no in between.
And I told you, I'm sick of the Northwesterns, the Wisconsins, the Purdues, just hanging on for dear life, not committing anything to the conference.
Know, Michigan State's going to be a tough trap game.
How about that USC Michigan?
Yeah, USC
State game
is going to be a trap game. Maryland, I think, weirdly enough, will be a trap game. Maybe that Wisconsin is just that bad, but Maryland has some guts. They got a freshman quarterback, but they got guts, and that team's just going to try to spoil people all year long. You know, they'll have three losses, but they'll try four losses, but they'll spoil people. That's dangerous. That's what the Big Ten is. Ranked tough matchup in the four or five teams that are there, and everybody else is just trying to spoil the season. That's where we're at.
Yep.
That was our John C. Cassidy temperature check, of course, presented by John C. Cassidy Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Go to CassidyAC.com for more information today. We'll loop in Miami fan himself on the flip side. It's Jonathan Zazzo. We'll join us, talk a little Miami football. First, if you're an athlete, fitness enthusiast, just want to keep your nutrition in order. You know, getting in shape is one thing. You could do the physical work, but 80% of it, bar none, is making sure that your nutrition is on point. VitaCost Sports Certified Marketplace, it's the place that's built for athletes, fitness enthusiasts who like to train, just want to understand the benefits of what clean supplementation can do for you. This could be whether you're grinding at the gym, whether you're training for a triathlon, whether you're just trying to be a little bit more health conscious. VitaCost is your go-to because it takes you to the next level. They got their Sports Certified Marketplace. It's new. It has over 400 sports-enhancing supplements. These are all certified, which means that there's no funny business, no banned substances, anything in or near any of these products. That's all on the marketplace. You can visit vitacost.com/sport-certified to make that purchase now. And best part is, go get 20% off. Use code ESPN20. ESPN20 for 20% off. Level up your game at VitaCost. Jonathan Zazzo on the flip side. Stay tuned for it. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. I'm only human, yo.
Officials at one point took a Miami touchdown off the board, basically because they blew what I can only describe as a sympathy whistle, where there was a mauling happening and there's a pile still moving forward, and some official just out of the kindness of their heart blows the whistle. Like, at the end of the day, these are someone's kids. These kids in the Florida uniform, like, that's someone's kid. I gotta stop this. Well, no. It'll stop when he crosses the goal line.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, momentum is important in life. It's important on the football field. It's also important in your personal life. F45 West Palm Beach. Go get in shape and go start, you know, getting a sweat going. Build some much-needed momentum over at F45. They have locations in Wellington and downtown West Palm Beach. You show up, it's 45 minutes in and out. So you're not even doing anything crazy. You show up, you follow the exercises on the screen. You're not necessarily doing anything complicated. And you got two coaches on site making sure you're doing everything properly. It's more that like-minded fitness environment where you can just show up and a bunch of like-minded fitness individuals that you can meet and have a good time with, listen to loud music, and have a good time. All of a sudden, 45 minutes pass. You got a sweat going. You feel good about the rest of your day. And more importantly, you're starting to get into shape. That's F45. Find a studio near you. Get your first three classes for just $30 today. Check out their Instagram, F45 Downtown West Palm Beach. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter / X at ESPN West Palm. Well, Miami had a big game, a big win over the University of Florida at Hard Rock Stadium. And myself and Theo Dorsey were there alongside the ESPN radio crew, where they have the ESPN College Football Campus Tour, which is going all around the country, going to Athens this coming weekend for Georgia, Alabama. And the host of the very show and the host of the Zazzo Show 2.0, Paul Maurice's favorite Panther fan, is with us now. Let's get to it. The voice of the 305.
You might know him as the Cooper City Rattlesnake. He's the human flamethrower of Miami sports radio.
Hey, you could be a maniac without being a jerk.
The preacher of the Pat Riley gospel.
They don't complain. They don't make excuses. This is the NBA. Deal with it.
The mayor of Dolphins delusion.
Can the Bills offense keep up with the Dolphins offense?
And the only guy who can go from breaking down the Panthers power play to cutting a full-blown Ric Flair promo.
Woo!
Jonathan Zaslow is the voice of the 305.
Mr. Zaslow, welcome in. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Had a fun weekend. Didn't have to travel. We had Canes Gators here, and granted, while Thursday wasn't so fun, I didn't have to, you know, watch the Dolphins lose yesterday. Got to just take in some NFL. I'm doing well. You guys, you good?
We're all good, and you know, it was a downpour, but Miami did exactly what they were expected to do. They shut down that offense. You think they proved to you that that's the best team in the country based off resume and what you've seen?
They're really good. They're really good. You know, I wasn't so sure if they would move up from number four because, okay, Ohio, you know, LSU, they didn't do anything wrong, and Penn State, they didn't do anything wrong. But then, you know, they jump up to number two because you look at the resume and say whatever you want about Florida. Their defense is elite. It's an SEC team. Canes beat a ranked USF, killed a ranked USF team,
yep.
And they beat what is still a ranked Notre Dame team. I don't know that anyone has a better resume right now than the Canes, so moving them up to number two makes sense. And look, you know, I saw Heather Dinich, Paul Feinbaum on television making the case that the Canes should be number one. Yep. Now, that stuff will take care of itself. You win the ACC, you're going to wind up being a top four team, which means you get the bye anyway. So I don't really care being number one, number two. Just keep winning your games, and it really seems like you got one more, and that's the next game because Canes are idle this weekend. You got one more, and that's at Florida State in 2 weeks. And to really establish yourself as the power in the ACC.
Now, Zaz, this is coming from me. I would have put Florida one, or excuse me, I would have put Miami one, just because of, as you said, the resume, who they've beaten. The only reason the Buckeyes are one is because of what happened last year, and that they're still undefeated this year, and that Texas win. But I wanted to ask you about that game specifically. Like, Miami proved a lot to me. Beck was off. Right?
Yeah.
And now I know Lagway's terrible in that offense, rather this year, excuse me, and that offense for Florida has been terrible. But even in a game where their quarterback isn't playing the best game, they win by multiple scores. I think that speaks volumes as to how good of a team Miami actually is.
I always like the kind of game where you're tested because the game is tight in the second half and you got to respond. You know, the Canes are up double figures, then the touchdown makes it a one-score game. And you still wind up winning by double figures. I always like that kind of game where you face a little bit of adversity in the middle of the game and you got to respond. But also, this was a really good sign from Coach Cristobal where whether the quarterback was off or not, run the football. Run the football. You could maul most teams on the line of scrimmage. Now, granted, Florida was without a couple of defensive linemen, and that certainly helps the Canes' case. But the Canes mauled them on the ground.
Yep.
Run the football. Run the football, run the football. And you saw that Mark Fletcher with a very quiet, you know, 100-plus yards. It was exactly the right formula that situation called for.
I think the key with Miami is they want to start showing teams that not only can they beat you, but they can beat you in many different ways. That is really the testament of whether this team is going to, you know, make some dents in the postseason play. We're getting a little too ahead of ourselves. But with that Florida State game on the horizon and Florida State having a game this week, Miami's in the driver's seat now, and looking ahead to that game, I want to get your final thoughts here. Of course, we'll talk about it next week. I mean, does that game necessarily favor Miami to you? You haven't necessarily seen Florida State play anybody since Alabama, and that was, you know, felt like a lifetime ago, but you think that's sort of that last step to really kick off their ACC play?
Well, yeah. I mean, you still have a couple games that you're gonna have circled on the calendar to make sure you don't get tripped up against SMU. You want to make sure you don't
get... That's what Miami would do. You know,
right.
That's a Miami game.
Well, that's when we're really going to be able to tell if this is a different Canes team from years past. I mean, I'm pretty certain it is. I know what I'm looking at, but that's where the game against FSU should be the only game. Like, I don't know what the line would be. Maybe FSU will be favored. You know, the game is in Tallahassee. But I know for sure that after the game against FSU, Canes will be favored in every single game the rest of the way. Just the bye comes at such a great time for the Canes because, man, that game, look, FSU is better than UF, and this game was still relatively close in the second half. You want to talk about a game that, you know, rivalry, throw the records out the window, game's going to wind up being close. That game in Tallahassee is going to be close. It's going to be a fun, fun game.
Zaz, when was the last matchup like this off the top of your head between Miami and Florida State where they're both
playoff contenders, correct. National champion contenders?
Correct. Can you remember? I mean, partner, you've been entrenched in this rivalry for so long. This has to be the biggest, highest. Now, granted, let's hope for it. I am honestly hoping Florida State beats Virginia so we could get that matchup. But, I mean, this is, like, probably the best matchup we've had in a decade.
I think both the Canes and FSU in 16, I think they were both undefeated at the time still. And that was Jameis Winston was still the quarterback for FSU, and they still hadn't lost in, like, 2 years. I believe Brad Kyle was the quarterback for the Canes, and the Canes blew it at the end of the game. The Canes were up like 21-0 in that game. FSU came back, and they won. They stayed undefeated. Of course, a few years later, it had been 7 or 8 straight years that the Canes had lost FSU, and they snapped that streak. It was a game in Tallahassee. Mark Richt was the coach, and so that was obviously memorable, but the Canes were not a contender that year. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since both these teams were top 10 teams. And obviously, if FSU gets past, doesn't get tripped up this week against Virginia, then you're looking at number 2, because the Canes are not going to move up to number 1 without playing. You'll look up, you'll be seeing number 2, and you know what could be at least a top 7 ranked FSU team.
Zez, have you been to that stadium, Doak?
No, I've never been there. No,
you never went to Tallahassee one time.
I have, but I never went to the game. Like I went there on weekends that the Canes were playing at FSU, but didn't actually go to the game.
Okay. Jonathan Zaslow, of course, joining us now on Russo and Rizzo. Zaz, to switch gears really quick to the professional side of things. Yesterday, that sort of primary game was that Eagle-Ram game where the Eagles came back down 26-7. Jalen Hurts put together a good performance here. Give me your sort of tale of the tape on the Eagles. Are you sick of them like everybody else is? Do you think they sort of stole that Chiefs mojo? And more importantly, does your opinion on the quarterback, has that changed in any sort of recent, or are you pro Jalen Hurts?
No, I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. I'm not sick of the Eagles. I don't particularly mind, the Eagles continuing to win. I mean, it's a fun story. I don't know. I don't get bothered by it if it's not my team's rival, I guess. Maybe that's a good way of putting it. I don't have anything against the Philadelphia Eagles. It is kind of wild. What is it? 18 out of 19 games that we're talking about here that they've won.
Yeah.
And look, the Rams prove once again that they're the team that's closest to Philadelphia, because not only they had 26-7, but you go to the playoff game last year, and if not for the inclement weather, they had the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game in the playoffs last year. Like, the Rams seem to be the best contender to the Eagles once again this year.
Zaz, outside of that great Eagle and Ram game, what stuck out to you the most watching that NFL slate, if it's the 4 o'clock, the 1 o'clockers, what stuck out to you?
The Jets stink, but it seems like the Bucs might be for real. And specifically Baker Mayfield, and I know that's got to kill you, Mike.
Oh, I root for him now, Zaz. It's
but,
okay.
Man, he comes off pretty likable to me. And, I'm not talking about is he, how many quarterbacks in the league are better than Baker Mayfield, but how many quarterbacks in the league would you rather have the football late in the game than Baker Mayfield? And I don't think there's very many.
Now, Zaz, it looked like Aaron Glenn did that chicken dance a little too early on the
sideline. Doesn't he know that he coaches the Jets? There's so much time left in the game. Come on, Aaron Glenn, control yourself. You look ridiculous. So the Bucs are a great story. The Colts, obviously. I'm pretty close to thinking that Daniel Jones is for real with Indianapolis. But also, maybe the best story right now is the Chargers. Because the Chargers, not only being 3-0, all three wins are in the division. So that is very, very impressive. The Chargers look like a big-time team at the moment.
Yeah, the NFL did them no favors scheduling it like that, too. Plus a game in Sao Paulo losing a home game in the process against the Chiefs.
They're the big winner now because they won all three of them.
Won all three of them. Herbert, didn't even play that great, but he made crucial plays towards the end of the game. That's a game that the Chargers wouldn't win 100 out of 100 times pre-Harbaugh.
Harbaugh's a great, great, great coach. I'm really not surprised with it. We've seen Harbaugh's resume between Stanford, Michigan, 49ers, and now the Chargers. He turns these programs around quick.
What's your take on the Packers there losing to the Cleveland Browns there? Is it one of those just throwaway, they caught him on a bad day type of games?
I'm not a Jordan Love fan. I know he was terrible. Terrible pick, obviously, which helped set up the win for the Browns. I'm not going to sit here and dance on the grave because it seems that I'm wrong about the Packers and wrong about Jordan Love no matter what happened yesterday, okay? I have not been a fan, but I'm most likely very wrong about the Packers. So the Browns, look, that's a fun win. Browns stink, all right? They can't score.
Bad.
Come on.
Good defense. Good defense.
Bad,
excellent defense. If I'm a Packer fan, I'm aggravated with that one because we know how hard it is to get that number one spot. And if you finish a game back at the end of the year from getting the number one seed, you say to yourself, wow, we couldn't beat the Browns. So that's a brutal loss for Green Bay.
And Zaz, you're going to Athens this week for Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Little rematch of last year. That's one of the best games of the year last year was Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah, Alabama was up huge in the first half of that one, and Carson Beck and Georgia came back. I think they even took the lead in the fourth quarter, in the second half of that game, and Alabama, Jalen Milroe still winds up pulling it out. Tremendous game, and that was actually the last time anyone felt good about Kalen DeBoer with Alabama, because it was the very next week that they lost at Vanderbilt. So, you know, Kalen DeBoer, they lose the first game at FSU. All right, they've won two games since. Who cares? This weekend, you win at Georgia. That goes a long way toward Kalen DeBoer getting people back on his side.
Have you been to Athens?
Yeah, we were there last year for Tennessee and Georgia.
Nice. And that's got to be – I've been there, too. I almost went there had I gotten in. But Athens got to be a top-tier college town in terms of where the campus tour has been going, no?
Yeah, cool. Well, I like Athens a lot. It's kind of difficult getting there because you got to fly into Atlanta, and then it's a 90-minute drive, so that's kind of a pain in the butt. But Athens, as a college town, really great, beautiful campus. Stadium's great atmosphere. I'm really looking forward to this game.
Zaz, last time we talked was Paul Maurice giving you credit for leaving the family vacation early. Have you had a chance to I know Lebertard was getting him on. Did you have a chance to get him on yet or no?
Spoke to him today. We had him on this morning, and he started off immediately by acknowledging me. Didn't even have to ask him. He started out by acknowledging me and thanking me, and I told him I love him.
Wow. So you had a little moment with Paul Moore. I'm going to have to find that. Wow, how about that? And he gave you credit for what, leaving your family behind on the vacation?
Yeah, said I'm a great fan.
Didn't leave him behind. He brought him with him.
Yeah, I brought him with me.
He didn't leave him there.
I did not leave them behind. I brought them with me. I ended all of our vacation early, but he thanked me, and he said that's what it's about, and it's about creating memories and moments, and I thanked him for everything, and I love him so much.
How about that? To listen to more of those moments, Zaz, where do people tune into you?
Zaslow Show 2.0, wherever you get your podcast, just search Zaslow Show 2.0. Everything Miami, everything South Florida related, we got you covered. And every episode is presented by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. If you're involved in an accident, you're dealing with a personal injury, they will get you the compensation you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733.
Zaz, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Athens. Looking forward to talking again soon.
Great job, guys. Thanks.
That's Jonathan Zaslow, the Zaslow Show 2.0. That's Mike Rizzo. We'll talk to Christian Katt on the other side. Russo and Rizzo taking a time out here. ESPN 106.3.